Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Upper East Siders, and welcome back to another episode of the Lonely Boys podcast. My name is Matt. I'm one of your titular Lonely Boys, and I'm just so confused right now. I don't know how to bring this. Because we're not breaking down an episode of Awesome Girl today. You might be wondering what we're doing. I'm wondering too. No, I'm just doing that classic bit where I'm confused, don't know what's happening, where I'm confused and ugly. If I sound a little uglier than usual, it's part of the bit. But and now here's the genuine confusion. We will be doing, I guess, a Spotify Wrapped. Don't know exactly how to introduce this, but it is that time of year. We're, you know, a week or two late at this point, but we had Gossip Girl to talk about. Yeah, and now we're finally getting into it. Right before, I guess, this is the episode coming out right before the holidays. It's part of a little holiday break from the action of Gossip Girl. You know, we just finished recapping the, what some are saying, the worst episode of all time, including both hosts and the guest. So a nice little palate cleanser. We'll be revealing what our top songs and artists, maybe even albums of the year were, according to Spotify and Apple Music. But I'm not here by myself. I am here with, insert the confusion again. How do I even bring this
guy? Oh, golly.
Someone who, hopefully, song of the year was What You Say by Jason Derulo. Gossip Girl reference, it's Brendan Ruffle.
That was better than last year's, I checked. Hello, I'm your host, of course, the Creepy Uncle of podcasting, a.k.a. Uncle Cream. Hi, Diddle Hoda Cream Nation, recording live as always from the Crematorium. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Cream Weekly. Dr. Off-Screen reporting for duty. Cream, yes, Cream.
Cream, yes, Cream.
And ACAP, of course, all creams are bastards. I'm your OGC, the original gangsta Cream.
Are you down with OGC?
Yeah, you know me. And Cream rules everything around me. Cream.
Cream.
And Creamy Bills, y'all.
You don't understand.
Now, there's going to be an emphatic end from now on, hope you know.
You don't understand. Say end. What was my intro from last time?
Last year, after the confusion, came a someone who is really good at listening to music.
Wow.
And then me and DVD go, oh, groan, that sucks.
No wonder you thought it was a bit where I was.
yeah. Tough stuff.
All right. So I've been, great intro as always. Yeah. I've been doing my Sunday night tradition of just listening to the week's worth of Hoppy Boys little vignettes that you've been putting in.
Okay.
No, the air horn goes away at some point.
It does, It's the halfway point.
But I was staying awake anyway.
I mean, honestly, if it wasn't for you and Peter complaining, I might have left it. So I listen to the people when they talk.
We
I listen and
lives.
I enact.
I wasn't really complaining. I was just pointing out that it kept waking me up, which was a good thing because I got to listen to all of it before I went to sleep.
Shit, I'm
you're
it
lucky
now.
I didn't. You're lucky I didn't doze off last night. But you brought in the jingle bells, y'all.
Yeah.
At the request, it wasn't even a request. I mean, I suggested it, but I didn't like demand you put it in. It seemed like you didn't want it in, though. I don't know. Maybe you and Brian were warming up to it. It seemed like you didn't really want to say it.
I think we just felt funny because it was Brian hadn't even heard Creamy Bills, y'all. So I started with the holiday version before he ever heard the the original Creamies. So I think
I felt
uncomfortable about doing it to him. You know, it was a whole thing.
The first time I did it, I was just saying Dollar Dollar Bills, y'all, because it's, you know, the next line in the reference song. And then, you said, is that a new part of it? And I changed it to Creamy Bills, y'all. If you don't want it intro.
Those are the moments that make the new intro parts best. It was an organic moment. I liked it. I think I had just forgotten about it immediately. And when you brought it up, it was like, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. And I think we recorded a couple episodes of Hobby Boys even before the 25 days that I was like, oh, shit, I keep forgetting to do that. So it's...
Jingle Jingle Bells, y'all, was pretty good. And I like the one where you guys said it at the same time. That was really good.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting better at it.
I don't know why you keep bastardizing it with the and, but...
I think the ends in the ones you've heard aren't even like a joke. I think those are, I think it's still and in my head, but now they're
kind and.
Of and drum roll, please. Jingle, jingle.
And
bell,
without further ado.
That's how the song goes.
I also, you know, you've been, instead of the OGC, you do the ICE for ice cream. Yeah. I mean, it makes me think of ACE, that agency. What's it stand for?
Well, I mean, I think it reminds me sort of. I thought Brian was going to say like ISIS the first time. I was like, well, let's not do that.
That too, yeah. I was really scared. I was clutching my pearls. But yeah, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. That's what I thought you were referencing as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you skip to episode like 12,
you keep saying you're down. You're down with ICE.
ICE. Like,
you're down with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I don't know where we're getting political on the podcast.
It's like the drink that you find at the movies or United Skates
is great.
United Skates is great. One of the underrated drinks and places, I love an Icy from like an old school place like that. I also love a Jones Soda from like a Laser Kingdom.
You know, you guys were all part of the Jones Soda movement. We would get it from Moe's Ice Cream Truck, but I just kept sticking with the Mountain Dews. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, and they're fun flavors. I don't know. Actually, not a bit like a funky flavor guy.
No,
I love like a cotton candy soda. Oh, I like a nice fufu berry. Who doesn't love a good fufu berry?
Why mess with Jones when you can get the real deal? Coca-Cola Corporation, Pepsi-Cola Corporation. Come on. Support big markets.
Yeah. I just did have are you a fan of like a Shirley Temple?
Yeah.
I made one yesterday.
We would house those down on the Sweet 16s.
Oh, yeah. Molly Flaherty, especially. Not Molly DeRosa. Oh, sure. She was a different girl back then.
She was a different girl back then.
One of my favorite drinks. I made one yesterday with dinner, with that off pot we were talking about, my 4 o'clock dinner time yesterday. I'm a Canada Dry man. When I make them at home, some people go Sprite and grenadine. I like the I like the little bit of spice you get from that ginger ale.
It's kind of crazy. That is kind of crazy. My friend that... at work, who worked in City Hall, would kept a bottle of grenadine with her so that she could go to the restaurant, get a Sprite, bring it back, and make her own Shirley Temples.
Yeah. All right, I like that move.
How about that?
That's good.
It's coming to work prepared.
It really is.
Are you good at roller skating? Roller skating or roller blading?
I want to say roller skating is like more the disco wheels, like the four that are separated. And then blading is like the inlines.
I'm asking which one do you do?
Well, I guess I was explaining that more as like, I'm confused. And I'm like you at the intro.
No, you're right. The skates are the quad wheels. Okay. And then the blades are like the inline.
I don't think I've ever tried to do the skating. Because that's like more for if you're like going to do like dance disco type on your wheels. I'm not spinning around on those bad boys. And whenever we would go with camp to United Skates, that's the stuff that people would put on and they would be falling down like consistently. Yeah. You'd rarely be under feet on those things.
I think skates is hard. Easier to get your balance at first, but then once you get going, like turning and stopping.
Bad wheels.
And, I think the real skate, the hardcore skaters, they do skates over blades though.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they're more versatile and you can act more like you're like a figure skater on those things.
Yeah.
But I could blade pretty well. I'm not bad. I'm not like one of our friends I think that would be best at it would be Sanchez because he's always kind of just the best at all the athletic stuff anyway. But he did play a little bit of hockey in his day. But I could kind of keep up with an average skater. I recently went ice skating actually. And I hadn't done it since I was in middle school. And I picked it up pretty fast, I think, because of my United Skates rollerblading days. Not bad at it. I can't go backwards.
Me neither. I always say like I'm not a good ice skater, but there's always going to be someone worse than me. That's the secret. I'm never going to be the guy that doesn't have balance and is falling down. No, holding on the wall. I can always keep my balance, and there's always going to be someone worse than me. And speaking of my whereabouts in Brooklyn, where people just kept wondering where I was, we were talking about when I went ice skating with Sean and Catherine, and they kept saying how great I was, and I was like, no, you guys just kept falling.
Yes, yeah, so they're really bad, and you're just like,
I just
you could stand
like,
up.
Oh, I thought you were a hockey player. It's like, no, I just didn't fall.
That's not a goddamn fool.
We're also talking about roller skating. Catherine's actually a really good roller skater, apparently. I didn't know.
But she's bad at ice skating?
Yeah.
Wow, interesting. Because it's the same exact movement in my head.
Yeah.
What I would do is there's these things. I don't know if when you went ice skating most recently, they had them, but they have like these kind of like these backwards chairs that you just hold onto as like a way to lean. So you can kind of practice. So I was holding onto these chairs are clearly for like either people that are very nervous about it, or for kids, or for grandmas, or if you want to have grandma sit in the chair and then you can push her around. That's good too. But when I first got there, nobody was there. So I was like, let me just practice on this so I can like go really fast. And then when I get rid of it, I can just go kind of fast, you know, like take the train wheels off, maybe not be as good, but I was
take the donut off the
back. Yeah. Yeah. But I was whipping around with this grandma chair. I was having such a blast going.
You didn't realize there was a grandma sitting in it the entire time.
I mean, I would have kicked her off. I could go extremely fast.
Oh, me!
I wasn't holding onto the chair at all. I was holding on something else. but like, as I was like having the time of my life, it started to get more crowded, and I was seeing people like hanging onto dear life onto the railing and just falling over, and I'm just speeding past at mock speed. I was screaming, "Wee!"
Were you just there by yourself? Were you?
Well, Nicole was like struggling, trying to figure it out on her own too. But
I really wish I had a chair right now.
Well, she would like go back and forth too. I would hand her the chair, and I would like take the donut off and do myself, and then I'd, like, I would take it back. Yeah, exactly. But it was very funny to realize, oh shit! Like people are here now, and there's kids all over the ice, just like face planting, and I'm just zipping past with the handicap machine,
calling them losers.
Loser.
Rollerblades or Beyblades?
I would say Beyblades, only because I never had my own, and I envy the kids that did.
Beyblades were fun. I did a few back in the day, back in my time.
Yeah, they're fun to like settle the score with people. You know, you have an argument, rip a blade, Beyblade, and it settles everything.
Can I do that to this day? Yeah, when I'm at work.
Yeah.
You know, really? That's what you think?
Even if you're clearly wrong, take them out.
There's only one way to settle this.
Exactly.
All right. Should we get into it? The reason for the season?
Let's get into the reason for the season. Do you want to start with top songs of the year?
You know, you lead the discussion on this one, and you were the one that listened back to last time.
Well, I guess,
time,
like, what are
so
you most excited about? If you were
to
see, like, people's lists of music, would you want to hear artists or songs first?
Start more granular. When I'm looking at people's Spotify raps, I am more excited to see their top artists.
Me too. So should we save that? Let's go top songs first, then. Let's go top songs. We'll start small. Keep people on the
hook. We going 1-5 or 5-1?
We'll go 5-1, countdown stylies.
Okay, are we going you first or me first?
We'll go you first. This is your...
Me first.
Number...
Me first, you never, because you're a class X flat.
Hell yeah.
Little inside joke for those in the know.
Maybe nobody. Your number 5 song is by Charlie XCX.
I usually get a free lollipop when I say that. I don't know.
Still to this day.
Yeah, it's
years. Charlie XCX from the album Brat. It was a Brat Summer. You were part of that movement, I suppose.
Oh, big time.
And this is now her most popular song to date.
I believe it.
360. And it's,
there it is.
Oh, those little bleeps and bloops. Who doesn't love them? So this opens the album.
Yes. And famously, Barack Obama had 365 on his end of year songs or whatever.
Did he?
Yeah, and that's like the dirtier version of this song, so it's kind of crazy. I don't believe Barack Obama was jamming out to 365. I think someone just kind of like curated his list and put it on as a bit, and he was just put it on.
He could be getting horny. Like, age.
Bumping that.
That's
my Obama impression.
That's a safe one. It's definitely a safe version of that impression. I definitely.
Did you have a Brat Summer?
I was going to say I had a little bit of a Brat Summer. I don't think this made it into any of my tops, whether it be 5 or 10. But I was bumping it here and there. I think once the season did start to pass and it got a little bit colder, you know, the leaves start to turn and it gets a little crispy in the air, I was off Brat Summer quickly because it does feel like a summer album. It's very party.
Yeah,
it's like her messy drug album. That's what you party to.
Yeah, and I love it. And then she tried to go commercial with her last album, and it didn't work. And then she's like, fuck it. I'll just do dirty club anthems. And this is the one that took off, apparently.
Right.
And then she kept it going with Brat Autumn with the remix album. Remember when Kamala was Brat?
I do remember when Kamala was Brat.
I can't believe that didn't catapult her into the White House.
Yeah. Between
looked like it was going to for a hot second.
Yeah, Taylor Swift endorsed her, and then she was Brat, and she's still somehow lost.
So this song isn't one that I like sing along to a lot. It's not even my favorite on the album.
I figured,
but it is the single
to it from front to back or something.
Well, yes, that definitely helps. It's the first song, but it was also the single that I liked the most. So I was blasting it a lot before the album came out. Then the album comes out, and I'm listening to it. Then the remix album comes out, and I'm listening to it. And then when you want to have a good night, you just kind of blast it. That's the one that everyone knows, so you just kind of play it. But Brat as a the song's over.
Yeah, look at this
short but sweet. Brat as an album, I'm very high on. I think if you ask me what my favorite album of the year, it's probably either Brat or Short and Sweet of Serena Carpenter fame, of course. Those are the two I really enjoyed. Of course, you know, Taylor's always up there. Not to go too off top. Billie Eilish, I know you loved. I know a lot of people loved. I think that's probably Beyonce's biggest competition with album of the year this year.
It's kind of a crazy pop albums of the year this year. Like it is like the biggest of the big. It's we got Beyonce, Taylor, Charli XCX is on there. Sabrina and
the Titans came out with albums this year.
And Chapel Rose.
Ariana Grande didn't even get
nominated
for album
either.
Didn't get nominated for album of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Beyonce almost has to win, or people were as a Taylor Swift fan, I'm rooting so much against Taylor winning.
That's not
again.
The one you
Taylor
want
cannot,
to win.
I think the
coolest one to win would be Brat, honestly. I think if Beyonce wins, it's too on the nose. It would feel like the white people are like, oh, you did like a cool, interesting thing here. You have to win because you're Beyonce and you did like a concept album. And
I don't think it's Beyonce's best album, but I think if she loses album of the year again, I think it's not a good look. It's not a good look either way. But I think I don't think it's
even close to the best album of the crop either. I think it's like down there.
She's impressively versatile. The problem is 27 songs and not all of them were my liking.
Yeah,
to be a snob.
I did like
I'm
it quite a
country,
bit.
I'm not a country fan anyway. We got so far off.
We're talking music. It was barely even really country. The one single was the most country single. But I guess she like used people from the country world to bring their music to life. But it was good. I think it's just maybe the weakest besides Tortured Poets.
That's the thing. And then problem is that Billie Eilish, the Grammy voters clearly love Billie Eilish, and then she comes out with an album that like just further cements her as like a huge deal, like something completely different than what she's done. That's something very good. Like it's
and,
almost
and to
ha-
me
hard
the best.
Not to reward. Yeah,
it's
almost
it's like,
hard
it's like
not
a
to
complete
reward,
album
but...
too. It's like a project. Like it's the exact opposite of Beyonce's album, where it's like short, sweet, and it all is cohesive.
Yeah, it's not my favorite album of the year, but it maybe is the album that should win. But yeah. I still think it's Beyonce's time.
Okay. Well, I think that brings us to Ramshackle Glory, obviously.
Someone who's somehow not up for album of the year.
This is the only one I'm seeing for first song is the live version. Is that what you like?
It says it's live. It's not actually
a
live album.
So
you can play that.
So I'm not
unless
familiar.
Unless they're performing live with no audience, maybe possible.
Not familiar with them at all. Unless maybe I do know the song and I don't realize it. But
tell
me a little bit about Ramshackle Glory.
I'm the only person who knows about Ramshackle. No, not true. If you know Ramshackle, like they have like this huge like cult following.
Okay.
He's not a good singer as you'll hear, but that's part of the charm. I remember they haven't been a band since 2016. The lead singer is a guy named Pat the Bunny, a huge like political anarchist. Like he hates all politics. And like corporations and everything. I remember back when I was getting into them, right before they disbanded as a band in 2016, they were performing in New Paltz.
Oh.
And I texted you and I was like, oh, Brendan, this band that I like is playing in New Paltz. Maybe I'll come up and visit that weekend. And you, via text, like laughed in my face and said, huh, that venue, only the worst bands play in that.
Oh, I bet it was at Snugs.
Only the worst bands play there. I'm like, oh, well, now I feel stupid.
I could have been that mean. That's funny though. The place that I'm talking about, I am afraid of. That's like where all like the drug lords and new pals hang out, and it's not the place you usually.
Well, he's
go
a
to.
He was a big drug guy, so. Okay. So something about this album. I've always said that "Everything Goes Numb" by Streetlight Manifesto is my favorite album.
I was
going
to say,
can,
his vocals seem a little bit Streetlight.
Yes, but I think as of recently, I've been revisiting this album a lot. It's just every time I travel somewhere, I just play this. If I'm going
it
on
sounds
a walk,
like a
I
good,
play
like,
this.
Car trip type of music.
So, it's a folk pump album. It's one of my. It might be my favorite album of all time at this wow. point, even though you know it's not recent. It came out in 2011.
Even us talking over it, I'm enjoying it in the background.
You know, it's folk punk. You hear the folk stuff in the
yeah,
background.
Yeah, I like it.
It like changed my life. It's one of the best wow. and deepest and like realest albums of all time. It's gotten me through a lot. The singer, Pat the Bunny. So he wrote like the first half of the album while he was still addicted to heroin and homeless. And then by the end of the album, he's like clean and turning his life around. And you can like see the projection
wow,
through each
cool.
of trajectory through each of the songs. You can feel all the emotion in his songs. You know, my favorite track and one of my favorite songs of all time is the next one we'll talk about that also came up on my top five. But yeah, the last two tracks, the one towards the end where he's, you know, wraps up the album, like I can't listen to without crying. It's just the whole album, it just makes me so emotional. You know, I went back to it. I've listened to it like, you know, I'll have weekends where I'm traveling while I'll just listen to it like four times in a weekend. And
yeah,
so I can't recommend it. You know, it's not for everyone. Obviously, if you like people that are actually talented at singing, you might not like it. But if you like people that are talented at songwriting and like conveying emotion and meaning through a song, this is definitely for you. And if you like folk punk, this is also definitely
for you. One of each, and then maybe put them together for the first time ever, and you might like it.
So he also has a acoustic version.
Also,
we'll
play
of this.
that next song. By the way, this is number three song from Here to
Utopia. Here to
Utopia.
This is, I have it ranked as my fourth favorite song of all time.
Wow.
This is the one I go to a lot. But yeah, this album is called Live the Dream. He's got an acoustic version called Die the Nightmare, which is the acoustic version of this song, which are also really good. But I prefer the, with all the fun instruments in it, you know. What do you say you liked it. So
I do like
get
it.
You,
I know, I'm
get
definitely going to be listening. I'm kind of sad I missed out on that Snugs concert. I would have really enjoyed myself. I haven't given it like a deep listen yet because this is new to me.
This is the first time we've been talking over it.
But I don't think he sounds that bad, but I understand what you're saying. He's not like a typical like good singer that you'd think of.
He wouldn't win American Idol.
No.
And Don Ruffel will tell you that.
He sure will. He's a fanatic.
Put him in the car, and my mom's been like, what is it? Like, this person can't even sing. What is going on here?
Yeah,
like,
but people would also argue about that with, I forget his name, from Streetlight. You know, different kind of voice, but I think it's unique enough, where you could, like, I sort of understand if you like weird-ass voices, if you're like I could see people liking Bob Dylan because he's got a strange voice and also has like a bunch of eras of different voices, and it's kind of wild how different he can sound over the course of his life. I don't necessarily love Bob Dylan, but maybe this is the version of Bob Dylan that I would like.
I do like Bob Dylan because I wouldn't even say Bob Dylan's a bad singer, like not like classically trained singer, but like
he's an interesting.
He has a voice, and he can convey, and that makes someone a good singer in my eyes.
Maybe Timmy's challenge will help me enjoy Bob Dylan more.
Probably.
But I can buy it, especially knowing that there's like such a story behind it. I think would really help me get into it on multiple levels too.
Yes. I'm very proud of him. The band disbanded in 2016. He faded into the background and does not make any like public appearances. Apparently he just like works as like an IT guy now in an office and like
You're saying Slifer was saying something.
Yeah, Slifer in my college days got me into Ramshackle Glory and Pat the Bunny, which was funny because at least at the time, this guy's political views was like so far off of Slifer's, and he'd like show me songs and be like rocking out and hear the lyrics and be like, it's not true, I don't agree with that. And I'm like, oh, maybe you should think about that.
Because you really like this guy, you should hear him out. Is he a conservative guy? Cypher?
I mean,
yeah, I know. I forget it's not just me and you talking sometimes.
Yeah, if we wanted to get him back on the podcast, we could bleep all this out. I think he comes from a more conservative
also, like,
family, and I think his views have changed in the last 12 years. Or so.
I just didn't like peg him for that, but just because of the music he likes, you know, like kind of like
exactly. That's what I'm saying. You listen to all his music, just preaching these.
Interesting. As I think about it, yeah. Yeah, this is good. This is definitely worth a listen, especially when you're in like a music rut. Sometimes you gotta try something that's just like so outside of your ballpark.
I'd recommend it. It's a short album. It's like 35-minute album.
Yeah. Maybe next time I'll go up to New Paltz, I'll just crank it, get in the spirit, and then I'll go have my first drink of the weekend at Snug's. Maybe he'll be there.
We could have seen them there.
I know. It's my fault. You could have came anyway. Just made me go. Here's your number two song. Something that everybody 100% knows. This is Please, Please, Please by Sabrina Carpenter.
What a seamless transition.
The opposite of this song.
Even though it was my second most listened to song of the year, I do believe this. And it's a number one song of songs that were released in 2024. This is my, I think, favorite song of the year.
Okay. Yeah, that's true, because your number one song is...
Yeah.
I mean, your number one song, I gotta say, we'll talk about it, but I think that has a lot of staying power. That song was like a 2022 song.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for him and them for making the number one spot.
Yep.
This is a great song. We love her. I just watched the Christmas special last night. I was underwhelmed. It was not great.
I haven't seen it yet.
She's not funny.
Okay.
She's like...
oh, my goodness.
She's the... the Ryan Reynolds of like female pop stars, if that makes sense. She's like the Deadpool type of comedian.
I like Ryan Reynolds, and I don't know if that's a hot take. Ryan Reynolds maybe is not as funny as
but there is
a certain charm and charisma that he has that makes me want to watch a Mint Mobile ad, and I can't say that about most advertisements.
Sure. I think
when I'm watching YouTube and a Mint Mobile ad pops.
Yeah, yeah. He has charisma. I just think he thinks he's maybe like a sort of comedic act, but he thinks he's a comedian, and it bothers me a little bit. And I got that energy from Sabrina Carpenter in her special, but I know it's not like she's writing every single one of those jokes for the hour-long special. So it's also she's being made to say these things. But so you can say that she's
opportunity to. It's not your opportunity to tear down Sabrina Carpenter.
I'll say she's a decent actor. I forget. Did she have a like Disney background or something? She was in
Girl Meets World.
Right. Yeah, you could tell that she's a decent actor.
You can tell. That seems like such a read.
You can tell.
You can tell she came up through Girl Meets World. No, but as I was saying, Short and Sweet, maybe my album of the year, maybe Brat, maybe Short and Sweet. This song, you know, it was requested to me at first. Everyone probably already knew it by the time I got around to listening to it, but I liked it right off the bat, and I like it more every time I listen to it. Like, I don't know, it doesn't, like, redefine the genre, or it doesn't, like, it's not breaking new ground or anything, but,
album,
you know.
She's just being, like,
song for
a down-the-middle, like, amazing pop star.
For whatever reason, this song is just so, you know, pardon the pun, pleasing to me, that I...
I don't know, you don't have to pardon, I think it's a good pun. You know who liked that pun?
Every time it comes on...
Slipper liked that pun.
When he wasn't trying to get, you know, tax breaks for billionaires, he'd love that pun.
Now we can't cut anything about the pun.
This, you know, gives me Rilo Kiley vibes, a band that I'm very fond of. Okay. And I don't know, the whole thing. Whenever it comes on, I'm just blasting
it. A little bit like
it.
Casey Musgraves, a little bit too, like sort of like borderline country, like country pop a little bit. Maybe even more country type songs in this album too, that she does really well.
Yeah, I was famously in Brooklyn over the weekend, and I noticed that Sean Gallagher's most viewed YouTube page on his account is the Sabrina Carpenter YouTube page. So he's been really into the Sabrina Carpenter. He loves this album. He's fighting with his dad about how this is a great album, and Sabrina Carpenter's a great artist. His dad has the take that all female pop artists are just derivative of Taylor Swift and are trying to be Taylor Swift. So he does not like female pop artists. And you may think this is coming from a big Swiftie who is saying, but no, he also does not like Taylor Swift.
you can't really take him too seriously then.
So just, I mean, it sounds, just say you don't like
Pop artists. Like, these artists, like the younger ones, they do like Taylor Swift and they grew up listening to her. But I think this is an artist that's very different from Taylor Swift. Her voice is very different than hers. She hits different registers. I think Chaperone's another one that's extremely different. I think, if anything, like the younger people, I feel like, are almost copying Billie Eilish, like the way she sang when she was like 16, and have that very breathy, like whispery type singing that they used to do. But I think everybody's got their own thing going on. Everyone's got their own style. Even though we were talking about the albums that are nominated for Best Pop Album, too. Like, all of them are very distinct, in my opinion. IMO, bro.
Thought you were going to have a longer sentence there. I took a sip of my diet.
and you heard the, in my opinion, and you're like, oh, shit. Like,
when you say my opinion, I'm like, okay, we're gearing up for something.
No, it was at the end of the sentence. here's your number one song of the year. This is What's Up by a band we all saw together, Mom Jeans.
Yes, we did.
I think, was this their opening track?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, if it's not going to end the show, I guess it'll start the show. Yeah.
I was hyped. I was, Gallagher's girlfriend, Catherine, is very into Mom Jeans, which found out. Oh, nice. So we shared that. And, Sean Gallagher, I was getting him into it, and he's like, oh, I think this might be a band that Catherine is gatekeeping from me, because she refuses to show him music that she likes anymore, because she showed him Phoebe Bridgers, and then Sean showed me Phoebe Bridgers and took credit for it. And like, listen to this artist I found, Phoebe Bridgers.
That's fair.
And so she's like, that's it. You lost privileges. You're going to take credit. He's like, I think this might be the one that Catherine is currently gatekeeping from me. Mom Jeans, my favorite new artist of the year, even though they're not a new artist. They're another Slifer favorite. Him and my friend Andrew would always listen to them in college, and I didn't get into them. And then he finally sent me this song, either last year or the year before, and it has stuck with me to this day. It is the one that I keep, and you'll see this year. It is my number one song of the year. Maybe it speaks to my emotional state that I was just listening to this over and over again.
No, but this is just so damn good. I've been looking for more stuff like this, because you sent me this song maybe last year, maybe when you started getting into it as well. And I was like, oh, shit, I do kind of know them, because I had been listening to just like my random... I don't know, Spotify does this too, I assume they do. But you can look up your radio, and it'll give you a mix of like songs you listen to on your own and stuff that you haven't heard yet, and it recommends stuff, sort of. And the album Best Buds by Mom Jeans was getting recommended, like the original Death Cup version that they have.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is kind of good. In my head, I'm like, I wish like some of these songs had like harder electric guitars, and maybe the singer was a little bit better. And then fast forward to this album that the song's on, I think they took all of my criticism and did it before I knew that they did.
For that.
Because his singing is much better than this album. They actually like they play a lot harder. That it's not as acoustic, and it's so full and delightful, this entire album. I love this album.
I love this album. Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get to it, so I'll just say it now. But this is my... I'll tell you right off the bat. It is my... I guess not off the bat. A little bit longer than that. This is my number four album of the year.
Nice.
And again, this is an album that came out in 2022. So...
Yeah.
I get the trickle-down economics of your song listening a little bit.
Yeah, I got into it last year. I listened to the album and still listened to it this year. Then I started, you know, I hadn't listened to a lot of their other stuff. So when we famously saw them in March and we were going to see them, I started getting to their other stuff. So, and then obviously playing this. And then they had the new album that came out where it was just like redone versions of like their older stuff, like either, you know, different versions of their old songs.
Well, that's my number five album of the year. It's Bear Market. Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, this song is the one I obviously always go back. And there was a time somewhere throughout the year where I was listening to it and I was like, this may end up being my number one song on Spotify Wrapped, because I'm listening to this a lot.
Yeah.
And
that song gets me pumped up like no other for like, I talked about this, I think, on Lonely Boys Proper, and also these episodes the last couple of years we've done this. I try and time out the last few minutes of my run with like a song that's going to amp me up so I can finish strong. And this is like a run ending type song that I'll be sprinting through the streets of Lyndhurst, searching for What's Up on my phone and turning it up.
And then I will say that What's Up, smiley face, the Bear Market version of this song was my number seven song.
Okay.
We got both.
There's
got
definitely
both
some Bear Market versions I like better probably, but not all of them. I think it's back and forth with some of them, but it's weird because I said before that I don't like how acoustic they were early on, and then they just do an acoustic version of a lot of their songs, and somehow they're all better. A lot of them are better. It's a cool project. I hope they just make like straight up new music soon, and then come back to Mulcahy's, because that was a fantastic show we saw. I love them.
Oh, so good.
I forget which song was their final song, but like when the lead singer whips out his trombone and starts blasting, I was like,
oh, yes.
Chills. Really good stuff.
And just what I'm looking for. I love whiny pop punk, and that's
it's not even too whiny. It's not like over the top. You might not even realize at first that it is like whiny pop punk. And I don't know. I think you can get away with this on the radio, and people, old heads wouldn't get annoyed by you.
Okay.
It's a little bit like
I praise.
Plain
I
praise. Rock. It's yeah. not that annoying. Okay, well, let me get into my top songs. This is going to be kind of quick on my end because I mentioned to you that I might have to talk a little bit about my top albums or something like that because my top five songs are all from Saviors, the Green Day's new album this year. I'll run down the list real quick.
You listened a lot.
I did listen a lot. My number one song was Bobby Sox, 27 plays. Number two song, Corvette Summer, 25 plays. Look Ma, No Brains, 24. 1981 with 23 plays. And then Goodnight Adeline with 22 plays. I think a lot of that has to do with like those are all kind of bunched up in the front. Maybe Corvette Summer is like the latest in the album out of all those, and like track seven or eight. But I think Bobby Sox is the song that stands out because I think it's track three.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah, so I think I would seek this one out even when I was listening to the album from front to back a lot.
But, Dilemma and No Fancy Sauce, favorites of the album.
Fancy Sauce is good, but it's at the end of the album.
It is. It's the very last song.
The other ones that show up on my tops are Coma City, The American Dream is Killing Me. I think it gets a little more plays because it came out before everybody else, too. And Strange Days Are Here to Stay gets a number 15. Anime theme song for Mom Jeans, Hippo in the Water, Crybaby, Sugar Rush, What's Up, White Trash Millionaire, all in my top 15 as well. The only song that's my top 15 that's not Mom Jeans or Green Day is She Calls Me Back by Noah Kahan. That's the only song that makes the top 15 other than those two bands.
Incredible.
Crazy. So I guess I'll play a little bit of Bobby Sox, and then...
I felt bad that I had back-to-back Ramshackle Glory songs.
It's a pretty like bad, embarrassing year of music for me.
The thing is, usually we do this, and my top five are usually all like Taylor Swift songs, whatever the new album that came out was. I had no Taylor Swift in my top five this year.
Yeah, I guess me either. You know, we'll get to artists usually soon, but she appears in my artists, but it is crazy that she's in my artists and nowhere to be seen in my top 15.
It's usually like four Taylor Swift and like a front bottoms will sneak in or something
Right.
Taylor Swift, this is, I mean, you know what? We'll get to it, but...
Yeah. We talked about this year with the new album.
Snuck in at number six for me. Oh, sorry, okay. I'm like cutting you off.
But we both liked the album. It's not like we disliked Torture Boys Department. Just like not a lot of singles, I guess. Not a lot of big bopping hits on that album.
Yeah.
It's more of like a complete project, sort of. And a lot
if you want more of our thoughts on that, check out the Swifty Boys, where we broke down the album in the Gossip Girl off-season with Molly DeRosa.
Yes. Not the same person as Molly Flaherty mentioned earlier in the Shirley Temple conversation. I guess if you can, off the top of your head, give me your top five songs off Saviors.
Okay.
A band we also saw together this year. We saw this tour.
That is correct.
And it was probably the best Green Day show I've seen for my money.
It was, I mean, they were playing the two big albums, they had a leg up there. I mentioned my two favorites were Dilemma and Fancy Sauce. Probably in that order, you could switch them one and two if you want. I think Strange Days Are Here to Stay may be my number three. Abby Sox, probably my number four. And then to round out the top five, I think One-Eyed Bastard is just kind of fun to jam out to. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go two single head. Well, I guess Lemon and One-Eyed Bastards were the only singles I mentioned, but those are probably my top five.
On Apple Music, the singles here, or I guess like there's songs that are starred on the albums, and I don't know what they're trying to say because I guess singles are released as singles, but for whatever reason, Apple Music likes to determine their own best songs on albums sometimes. So the ones with stars next to them are The American Dream is Killing Me, Look Ma, No Brains, Bobby Sox, and then Dilemma.
Okay.
So no One-Eyed Bastard. But I don't know what that means.
One-Eyed Bastard.
Bada bing, bada bing. It's a very fun song. That's very, very Italian. And also very pink and very pirate.
Yeah,
as well.
Yep.
A lot going on. Have you watched the music video to this song?
I'm not big into watching music videos usually because unless I go out of my way to watch it, but usually it's just like, you know, usually just watching something else. I don't really feel like going out of my way to watch it, but watched some music videos over the weekend. Sean Gallagher, not to keep mentioning him, but that's where I was over the weekend.
Like
he's very good
video
in music
like,
videos.
So. Like a hangout, if you like don't know what to do, like if your thing you're doing just finished, and like, I still want to hang out, but I don't know what to do now. I want to like just like stare at each other and listen to music. Because then also it's not right. music-focused anymore. If you really do want to hear the music, you don't want to just like play it and talk over it. This is Corporate right. Summer.
I like music. I love music videos. Yeah, I just don't find the time to do it these days. I mean, I come from music video culture. Every morning in middle school and early high school was spent having Fuse, MTV, MTV2, and VH1 in rotation, watching music videos as I was getting ready for school. But
I don't get ready to listen to the podcast. I think there's an album I'm really excited for, and I know that they're going to be dropping videos. I'm like, okay, cool. Especially Taylor Swift's one of the ones that you...
Yeah, I'll watch
you
a Taylor
like
Swift
very excited
video.
For a Taylor Swift video.
Yes.
This music video, Corporate Summer, has Mark Hamill in it at the very end of it. He's driving a Corvette.
I think
I
heard
with
that.
Mike Dirnt, I believe.
Yeah.
Very funny. This, to me, we had an argument, me, you, and Brian, at Malt Madness about the song, and I said it's a great song, and you both hate it and hate me for it. I stand up for the song. I think it's very fun. Brian actually legitimately like dislikes the song.
Like this song,
it. But it's my number two. And
what
I don't know it's
doesn't
so
he
fun.
Like?
He said
about it.
It sounds. He's like they're not doing anything new. It's like, it sounds like so old. And I'm bastardizing his argument probably, but I like it's okay. Like if you're like an old bunch of guys and you like the style of music, you can make a Green Day version of like an '80s hair metal type song. I think it's fun. I think it's like they're doing what they're trying to
it's
do.
It's okay.
I think it's got a great chorus, and honestly, the verses I think are like better than the chorus too. I love this.
I agree,
and they're cheesy like Billy Joe Armstrong lyrics, and I think you lean into it. It's fun. I don't know. I think he gets annoyed with how cheeseball Billy Joe can be sometimes. And I think that's who he is, and I like it.
Yeah, I like it too. Big Billy Joe Armstrong fan, obviously.
Yeah, he's a man.
You know, this wasn't in my top five on the album, as I just said, but
yeah.
Like it.
That's good.
Like it.
I'll give you one more song from this album because I don't want to play all five. But out of the Look My No Brains, 1981, and Goodnight Adeline, which one would you like me to play?
Goodnight Adeline, because Adeline is my grandma's name.
Oh, okay. Was she married to Neck Brace?
Yes. which was his government name.
This one's good. This one's like a very fun, Britpop type song. I could hear an English band singing the song for sure. Also would be good for karaoke, but I can't hit that high register that he gets into with the key change that happens in the middle of the song.
Someone's got to hit it. It gets tough.
It's a nice one.
I like jamming out to this song. Like it's soft right now. Soft right now. And then
he goes up there.
Yeah.
And he goes up there. I love Saviors.
Can tell.
It's a...
I think
stuff.
This might have been your number one album on Apple Music.
Yeah, it certainly was. It was number one. It had 615 minutes played to 442 for Stick Season Noah-Kahn. Torture Poets Apartment was number three with 404. Sweet Tooth, Mom Jeans, 331. And Bear Market at 295 minutes. Also want to note again, I think this said this last year too, but a lot of my music listening was in the car listening to Sirius XM, where I listen to John Mayer radio, where it's mostly just like music from all over the place, like pop music from like the 80s to now, and like occasionally he'll sprinkle in his own music. But I listen to majority Sirius XM. So I don't know where that lands me in like the scheme of things on the countdown and stuff.
Yeah. I was saying over the weekend, I was playing some new Green Day, and I was saying that, love the new album. I think they have rebounded from, like, maybe the dark period that they were in. And I think a lot of, our favorite bands from younger years are going back to their roots and coming out with, like, good music again that sounds akin to their old music. Blink-182's album from last year, one of their best in a long time.
Yeah.
Sum 41 released their final album this year.
They said final. Okay, wow.
Final album. And that was really good. A couple of years ago, we talked about how Avril Lavigne got back to doing what she did best with Love Sucks.
Oh, yeah.
There's other examples I'm probably forgetting. But I feel like every time I listen to an album from one of our, old favorite bands or, rock, alternative rock, pop punk, whatever. There it is. I love it. I'm a sucker for a key change. I've been prepared to be disappointed, and I've just been surprised at every with all these new installations.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that a band this old is able to still sound like themselves in the first place. Like, even going back to that concert we went to, they sounded so good. It's crazy how good they sounded. And yeah, just to stay inspired this long and not just like, all right, hopefully people will buy our old records and who cares? Or like, we'll put out some bullshit. Maybe a couple of people will buy it. But like, they're really trying to make new music that they care about too. And a lot of people are doing the same thing.
Yeah. What do you think is the coolest member of Green Day?
Well, there's one guy with cool in the name.
One of them does have cool in the name.
I don't think he's cool, though. He's more just like silly.
Very silly. He's the one who gave the Spotify artist message to the listeners that, you know, listened to Green Day.
Oh, was he?
do you get artist messages on Apple Music, or
no,
is that
you
a Spotify
text
exclusive?
That's the one thing they're going to have to copy next year.
Yeah, I like to pretend I'm friends with all the artists unless they come on and they're like, hey, it's Trey Cool. Thanks for listening to Green Day this year. You're a great guy. All right, see ya.
Yeah, he's funny. We had a great moment where he actually performed his song from Dookie. All by myself, which we weren't sure if he was actually going to do. And then he did it.
Yes,
it was really, really
the
great.
The biggest pop from the crowd,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I remember Mom Jeans. I don't think Mom Jeans had an artist message this year, but last year I remember it was just, I'm assuming the lead singer from Mom Jeans, and it was like the shortest one by far. It was like 3 seconds.
Hey,
it was
thanks.
Like, just like, listen to a lot of Mom Jeans this year. Nice.
That's kind of a good one.
And then you have Taylor Swift, who goes on for like a minute and a half. Just
that
like...
one, it's so famous, I've seen.
Yeah,
I would say maybe Mike Dirnt, because Billy Joe is like Mike... you know, too on the nose, and he's like almost not cool because he's so much of a dork. I guess if that makes sense.
I think Mike Dirnt has to be the coolest.
Yeah, he's
member.
A cool guy. I think he's the brains behind the coffee operation that they have going on now too, which is like also like a cool thing.
Mm-hmm,
coffee's
mm-hmm.
cool.
Do you think Billy Joe Armstrong knows who Waluigi is?
Ooh. Is this a way to find out if you're like a millennial or Gen Z kid or something? Or what is this test?
No. Were you not a Doughboys listener at that time? Do you not remember?
I don't know.
This?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't. For some reason, Mitch and Weicker had a conversation. I don't know if it was an argument, but a conversation. Somehow it came up and they were arguing over, does Billy Joe Armstrong know who Waluigi is or not? And
then I'm
sure the tweet still exists. It ended with Mike Mitchell tweeting at Green Day, hey, this is for Billy Joe Armstrong. Billy Joe Armstrong, do you know who Waluigi is?
And they never got to answer back, I guess. In the meantime, I'm going to play your... a song from your number 5 album from Brat. This is I Think About It All the Time.
Yes.
I think maybe if they didn't get an answer, I want to say that he does not know who that is. I don't know how much of a gamer he is. I
think about it all the time. So, while I'm looking for this, but my number 5 artist, as you said, was Charlie XCX. Listened to her a lot because... she had the new album come out. I was listening to the singles before the album. Then she had the remix album come out, so I was listening to that a lot. So a lot of Charlie XCX. It was a Brat summer. And I chose I Think About It All the Time as the song to represent this artist because I think it is the most underrated song on the album. I love this song. And I think people either are indifferent about it or straight up don't like it. And I love this song. I love just hearing. I can so clearly hear Charlie's voice.
I know.
In this one.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
it is very nice. I love her accent.
Love her accent, and I love that you can hear it as she sings. A lot of those Brits, they get rid of that
they
accent
really
when they sing.
Even like some like, people as like thick accented as like the 1975. Some songs you can hear, but sometimes like these people have some of the thickest fucking accents ever. And how do I not hear it in like Chocolate?
Exactly.
It's kind of crazy. Even sometimes the Beatles, you don't hear it too much.
I know.
This is good. This is a good, like, kind of come down from all the party at the end of the album. It makes sense thematically.
And, you know, you get a glimpse into her psyche, you know, debating whether she wants to settle down or not.
Yeah.
She thinks about it all the time.
They talked about the song on, I don't know if you ever listened to this podcast, but the Switched On Pop. It's like a couple, like a musicologist and a music producer that talk about pop music and break it down. They said a lot of what you're saying about how interesting it was at the...
I mean, you're gonna think I'm doing it a bit at this point, but Sean Gallagher was just talking to me about that podcast.
Oh, really?
Over the weekend.
That's so funny. Yeah. I go to them for everything. They're really, really great. It's one of the only podcasts I listen to that's not like a couple people bullshitting or like an improv or just comedy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's sometimes silly and they have a good sense of humor, but it is very like produced and edited, heavily edited. It's the only like edited podcast I really listen to.
He was really weird. Breaking down. He was really breaking down Creed's One Last Breath for me. I can now stop singing. And he claimed that he's known Creed his whole life and he just heard their most famous song, One Last Breath, probably this year. And now he's
really?
He had never heard it before. He has heard it this year. And now he's obsessed with it. And he kept playing it and like really breaking it. He's like, it's so, you know, they go for the soft chorus here and then they have half a chorus here and they go into the hard chorus. Like you
Save
really
a little bit of One Last Breath.
Oh, and then he showed me a YouTube video where this, this DJ was like, at like a club or whatever, and she played like an EDM mix of this song, and the crowd went wild.
Oh, that's was cool.
Honestly, one of the best videos, really like cool. Just random people dancing. It was really awesome.
It's hard not to sing along to Creed. It's such an iconic, like, you know that scene in Ted where he makes fun of all the people that sing like this? Like, it is such a distinct, yeah. Like,
the Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, it's so much like that. And it's fun, but it's so fun to do, and all their choruses are so good.
All the negatives you can say about Creed, this song is not one of them. I've been singing this song all day.
You can kind of lump them together with Nickelback a little bit, like, they get made fun of a lot, but they have good songs.
Nickelback is good. Seen them live there.
I know you have. Maybe six feet ain't so far down.
Oh, good. So good.
And now we start. Oh, we don't start. Rocking quite. This is what Gallagher would be telling me. It's the soft part.
It's the soft chorus first, and they go. They trip you out. They make you think they're going. Yeah. They have like a false hard chorus, and they go back first.
It's genius. So check out Switched On Pop. Now, they're really great.
Here we go. On March 3rd, 2020, Mike Mitchell tweeted at Green Day, "Hello, does Billy Joe Armstrong know who Waluigi is?"
And no end the reply.
He replies to it himself saying, "Answers from Green Day only, please." No replies from Green Day. Someone says, "Any update on this?"
You should.
We add on this. The silence is deafening. The silence is deafening. We need answers.
Your return to X could be right now.
Because I don't know what the context was, but you have to listen to that original podcast.
Is it a double?
I'm not sure. Maybe it was. Maybe that's why
I was listening.
Oh, here's the hard part. Not on either of our top fives, but we still
found time for it. Maybe it will be next year.
I hope so.
Well, let's get to your number four album of the year. This is Dilemma from the much talked about Saviors album by Green Day.
Yeah, so your number one album.
I like the song a lot too.
Your number one. Well, I don't know what your artists are because we were talking albums.
Is number one artist.
Green Day was. Okay, Green Day, spoilers. Green Day was my number four most listened to artist of the year. This is probably my favorite song off the new album that they released. The thing is, you know, had a lot of opportunity to listen to them as well because they have the new album in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then we saw them in August, so I was listening to a lot of Green Day before that to get pumped up for it. And then they also released the 20th anniversary of American Idiot, which was a four-part, five-hour album. So I only listened through it once, but that's 5 hours of Green Day.
Yeah,
Green Day
right.
And it's really good. Did you listen to the 20th anniversary American Idiot?
No, I didn't touch on it, but I believe I have a Christmas present coming my way that will rectify that.
Nice. Yeah. So part three, the third disc of the four disc album,
okay,
is like all the original demo versions of American
that.
Idiot.
Yeah, I'm so pumped.
And it's just hearing like the first drafts of all the songs American Idiot, it's really good. That's my favorite part of the album.
That's like the real geek shit you get into if you're a super fan of a band. But that's the stuff that's why really they sell it. People really do want that stuff. It is interesting to hear like the growth of a song from bare bones to what it is now. It's cool. Especially when you know a song so well, it's really cool to see like how far off they were.
Yes.
It's like there's
a whole alternate version of American Idiot on that album that is just like, it's very...
I'm gonna leave Christmas early so I can go back and rip the CDs and have my own. You know, it's fucked up because what Christmas used to be to me is I get...
You're getting like actual physical CDs or you're getting
vinyls? I asked
for, like,
for the box sets of CDs.
Wow, you're keeping the CD business in business.
I sure am. Because vinyl's too expensive because I had to first buy like a really nice setup for it. I had to get the thing that plays the thing and then get speakers that are nice enough to like warrant having like a nice vinyl player. And vinyl by itself is so, like, the new stuff comes out. Like, you look at Taylor Swift albums in Target are like $45 for one album. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I can't get into that collecting. But CDs are dirt cheap and they make it so that if I just use my old iPhone as like a standalone iPod, I could have like all the music ever in like the mountains. Whenever you lose out you lose out LTE and you're like, fuck, oh my, I can't listen to any music right now. I have everything I ever need.
Well, that's why I've got some stuff on Spotify downloaded when I go on a plane or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This music video is also very good. Very fun.
I've seen this music video.
Yeah, it's good.
Because I think it popped up on Twitter one day and I just like watched it.
Okay, let's get to your... We have, I think this might be enough Green Day for today, for the people. Sorry to everybody.
Sorry to all the Green Day haters out there that didn't want to hear so much Green Day.
Are there a lot of Green Day haters? I feel like there kind of are.
I think there are. I know, like, Andrew Greenaway's mom.
She's a hater?
Andrew Greenaway? Yeah, because when we were listening to Green Day in sixth grade at his house, she didn't like that she was calling Americans idiots.
Well, that's a good reason. I'm with her on that one. okay, this is a song by Ghost, "The Future Is a Foreign Land." This is your number three artist of the year, which you have talked to me about them before. I think you've plugged them on Lonely Boys episodes in the past.
Yes, this was their latest single that they dropped. This came out, they released a concert movie that also had somewhat of a plot to it as well, because Ghost is a weird band that does weird things.
How was that?
And this was very good.
Okay.
And this was the song that came at the end during the credits, and I think it's one of their best songs.
Is it a weird place for me to get in, to jump in on them? It would be that concert movie? Would I be very confused? Or even if I was a fan, would I be confused?
I was very confused, because I went with my friend who is a Ghost super fan, and obviously a theater full of Ghost super fans, because those are the people who go see Ghost movies.
Right.
And there were parts where like, there were like, I guess, dramatic reveals, and like even like the ending too, and it ends and people are like, what, no way, and I was like, I guess something big just happened. Like, what's going on?
That's fine. I like the idea that there's like insane lore behind this band.
There's so much lore. There are shows where you're not allowed to like take out your phone, like they lock up your phone because it reveals they reveal the lore in those shows and they don't want anyone taking videos of it.
It's a little bit intimidating to get into something like this. Where are they welcoming people? Are they gatekeeping? Or how are they, the fans?
I'm sure they love any fans they get. I've never talked to them about it, but
no, maybe not them themselves. But if you were to
the fans,
community, I guess.
They definitely love. They, you know, it's they're an insane fan base. When I went to the Ghost concert, I said people think that Swifties are insane. These people are more insane. There's just not as many of them.
Right.
They are hardcore dressing up. Yes. But they're very nice crowd. I think much like any like cult following crowd.
True. You find weird like nice weirdos in a lot of places.
A nice weird bunch.
I think that's why I made so many friends in like the cross country community, because It's a weird cult following. You find nice weirdos in like the running community as well.
You can hear it's a lot of their songs. It's such a normal sounding band.
It's so bizarre when you see the art behind Ghost.
Yeah, when they dress up and like they're like satanic kind of, and they're so weird. It's just like it's such an interesting
The music
experience.
Does not go along with the vibe of what I'm seeing.
Because I remember they've risen.
Right,
they've written, last year they were my number five artist. This year they're number three. I remember when you played them last year, you were expecting it to be a lot heavier, heavy metal because of the imagery.
I think you also had Taylor Momsen on that year or something like that. So she's way harder than Ghost is, and she seems like she would be the lead singer of this band.
I was playing one of their albums once, and my mom was like, "Who is this?" I'm like, "Ghost," and she's like, "I like them. They sound like Bon Jovi."
They do have a little bit of like an '80s.
80s,
rock
yes.
Vibe,
80s,
for sure.
Like, feel, yeah, yeah, for sure.
And the vocals are a little bit like ABBA-ish.
Yes. Oh, yeah. they have an ABBA cover.
Oh, look at that.
Smart guy. Marionette, I believe, yeah. And it's a really good cover. No, but yeah, I can't recommend Ghost enough.
This is why I feel like shit doing this with you.
Seeing them live in July.
I
just spent $250. I just spent $250 on a ticket.
Where did they play?
Because my friend wanted to be in the pit. I think it's MSG.
I'm not sure. Oh, that's big enough to play MSG. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like
might
doing
be Barclays,
this, but
I think it's Barclays. Sorry,
okay,
it's still big. Yeah.
But I feel like a loser giving you, like, here's my five Green Day songs, and then I'm, like, learning from you and getting to, like, get some good recommendations. I even said that last time I got the recommendation of What's Up, which is now, like, the other 10 songs that were on my top 15. So, yeah.
So basically, you're welcome.
So thank you. Your number two song is
Artist.
I Can Do It. Oh, yes. Sorry. Your number two artist. This is the songs that go along with your number two artist of the year. Taylor Swift, I Can Do It with a Broken Heart. I could say this is probably the big song from this album. Yeah.
I mean, I guess she'd want you to believe that Fortnite is the big hit because that's the one she submitted to all the Grammys. But
This
is the one that has resonated with fans. And it's because it is so unlike both lyrically and like what she's doing musically. So unlike the rest of the album. And so a lot unlike of what she has been doing in recent history.
I remember being the most excited to hear this one, too. When this came out, I was like, oh, shit, cool. We got a bumper.
Yeah.
This is the one they play on the gym,
that's why,
too, album brag.
That's why this does stick out as one of the standouts from the album. That
the
a lot of it
loops.
Does kind of blend together, I think, is the big criticism of it. That might be why Taylor Swift, like, this is the big news coming out of it. Since I've been doing Spotify Wrapped in 2020, Taylor Swift has been my number one artist every single year, and this year she has fallen to number two, even though because I'm a Swiftie in general, one of my favorite artists, and then she always has a new album or a new re-release, Taylor's version of an album, that I'm obsessed with and getting into. And she came out with a new album in Tortured Poets Department early in the year too, but I guess I just didn't stick with it afterwards.
Yeah,
and, maybe that.
I mean, it's tough because
still number two though.
Still number two. Yeah. Not every single album she puts out can be your favorite thing ever. It's just the way music is, and it's good. I think that shows musical maturity on your part.
I think if you ask Swifties, everything she does is better than the last thing and the best thing.
It's just not true. It can be good, but not the best thing she's ever done at the same time.
Yeah.
And maybe it could also be like your favorite thing if that's the kind of music that you like. But I agree with you. I'll even spoil as to say my number two artist is also Taylor Swift. She got knocked down for the first time in years. So I'm with you.
Wow, that's crazy. And it sucks because only the top artists, they tell you in what percentage of listeners you are.
Okay.
So I want to know if I was in like the top 1%. Even still this year, because that's, with Taylor Swift, it's hard to get into. People go to sleep and listen to stuff on repeat while they're sleeping just so they can get into that, like, 0.01%.
Yeah, that's a little much. I think it should be organic if you're going to get it. Like, I wouldn't feel proud of just, like, playing something in the background and setting up multiple
There's
phones.
Nothing organic about being a Swiftie. When
Yeah, that's true. She was number two by about 300 minutes.
Wow, that's what, five hours?
Yeah.
So if you listen to Tortured Poets Department one more time, it would have. Yeah. It's a joke about how long of an album it is.
Bop. You can hear Jack Antonoff right in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fun facts.
He's got to go. Got to go for the next album.
He's
got
to go. It's okay. It's time. Just a little shake up. Maybe bring Max Parker.
Yeah. Yep. Come on, preaching to the choir. Yeah. Although he didn't come back for 1989 Taylor's version, so I don't know what's going on there.
It's just a remake. It's not like a brand new thing. I get it. Even though she got Kendrick back.
I guess he didn't want to waste his time on that.
Yeah. Before this song ends, I will tell you one quick fact before I play your number one artist song. The owner of US Brews, the place we played Bino, the bassist, I believe, bassist or drummer, I forget which one, but a non-important person for the National, is a regular at his bar, and he gave him tickets to see the National for free in Philadelphia like a couple months ago. So he's like, oh yeah, the drummer, you know the National? He's like, yeah, Aaron Dresner. He's like, how do you know that? It's like, well, he writes all the Taylor Swift music, like all the slow songs anyway. He's like, oh, that's kind of fun that you know that. I'm like, yeah. Like, he's a regular.
So, that's kind of quirky kinda of you.
Yeah, quirky. Your number one artist is, and I'm a little surprised, because this is not like someone that took over the number one spot because they had a big new album this year. That is not the case. This is Demi Lovato, and you, the song you chose Lovato to represent your number one artist this year
had to
is Give Your Heart a Break, rock version.
Rock version. We were very high on this one when we broke
down
this album.
We were.
I had to represent the Lovato lads. I needed to make you and Liguori proud.
You made Liguori very proud.
I'm also proud. I showed him. I was in the 0.05% of Lovato listeners this year.
Did this rock album like take you to these heights? Is this what did it?
Yeah, it made me want, because I was not, and we've, I'm sure, discussed this in the Lovato lads, but I was not a big fan of Demi Lovato. I'd heard this, you know, the hit song before, until Liguori told me I should start getting into her. And then I listened to the album before, Holy Fuck, the rock album that we loved so much, and was not a fan. And then Holy Fuck came out, obviously a huge fan. Then she releases this rock album. So now we're officially Lovato lads, and it made me want to go back and listen to the old stuff, both now that I've heard the rock versions of some things, and Liguori saying, you know, you got to listen to her old stuff. So I did do a Lovato...
a deep dive of sorts.
A Demi deep dive.
Demi deep dive, there we go. Yeah.
I did a Demi deep dive this year and just listened to... all
you
of
were tired
her
of
diving
semi deep on Demi.
exactly. that's definitely what did it. I listened to all of Demi Lovato's work throughout the year, and it gets me in the top 0.05% of listeners on Spotify.
It's nothing like diving through an artist's like entire discography to catapult them to the number one spot. That'll do.
And it was organic. I wasn't doing it while
it was
going to sleep.
Yeah.
I know you hate that.
It's real. I hate that shit.
I was just listening to Demi every day when I was running.
She'll help you run for sure. This is a good one. I think this is one of the ones I didn't complain about being just like, oh, she just put like garage band drums behind her regular song, which was at that what is it for half the songs.
Well, and she added a second verse feature, which I know we love.
Yeah. Exactly. This was a surprise. This was a surprise, good surprise. She's got
some still shock.
Voice. Yeah.
Still shocked.
I mean, this makes me kind of
want
to go back to her album before this, Holy the Fuck.
Yes. Yeah. Well, when Brendan does his deep dive, be on the lookout for his number one artist next year.
Yeah. Careful.
Demi Lovato.
Or Ghost, who knows?
Yes.
It's a good song to put up here because it's a song everyone knows, but probably not a lot of people know this word.
Exactly. Because I don't think she's not that big anymore. People aren't still talking about her, except for us, the Lovato lads.
Yeah, that's it. We're holding the torch.
Have like a big single in a while.
No. I think it's kind of a natural progression into my number five artist of the year. Paramore. Always in my top five.
Nice.
And I really, this year, got into, for whatever reason, the album Brand New Eyes from 2009. That's the one with the ripped apart butterfly wings. And to represent that album, I'm going to play Where the Lines Overlap, because that's my favorite from this album.
Nice.
That's a banger.
Paramore, I think, was my number two last year.
I think they were a little higher for me, too, last year. I forget. I guess it was the year of This Is Why. Oh, no, This Is Why was 2023, but they also had In Response to This
year.
Is Why as well. Oh, that is last year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
It is last year.
I'm already deep in 2025 right now. that makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird because like this has been one of my favorite bands for a while, so I don't know why I was doing like another deep dive in this band, but I just kind of fell in love with their... I think this is like maybe their prime, I want to say, like 2009. This is like where they... I think they had squeezed all the juice out of their pop-punk sound, and then they kind of switched to a more like radio-friendly pop with their self-titled album.
Yeah.
And then they have to like they have to like fully rebrand, like, okay, now we got to be even weirder. And then After Laughter comes out, which is a phenomenal album.
After Laughter, maybe my favorite Paramore album. Every time I revisit it, it rises up the ranks.
Yeah.
I really slept on it when it first came out.
But... it's so fucking good. It's also one of John Mayer's favorite albums, because he talks about it a lot on his radio station. He plays a lot of Paramore, and I try and guess like who, what artist he has a crush on based on how often he plays a female artist. And I think Hayley Williams is one of those people he has a crush on.
Must be. Yeah, that must be it.
And then they reinvent themselves even further with This Is Why. I think they're a really talented band, and I'm glad that they kind of stopped doing plain pop punk with this album, because this is like clearly perfect.
Yeah, but they're pop punk, obviously great.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I'm so happy that they have this as like a time capsule. Like, all right, if you want to listen to their best version of pop punk, or maybe the best version of pop punk that there is ever, just go to Brand New Eyes. Listen to it front to back, and there's nothing else you need to do.
Wow, I praise.
Yeah, it's so good. Like, I can play any song on this album. Like, probably the most famous one from it is The Only Exception, and that's like a fun, slow one that everybody can sing along to.
Yeah.
The best song maybe is All I Wanted. I think that's like a pretty famous Paramore song for big fans. She got that like crazy high vocals in that one. I love her range.
I'm really just jamming after this one.
Yeah, she's great. We can talk about Paramore every year, and I hope that they don't break up. I heard that This Is Why kind of fulfilled their contractual obligations to their label, and they might break up afterwards.
Who's saying they're going to break up? Why would they break up?
I don't know. Unless they like re-sign with somebody else or start their own label, who knows? But they don't have to make any more music, technically.
Yeah, why? I didn't think they were just making music because someone was forcing them to. I thought they
was. I don't know. They're a free agent. Who knows what they're going to do? Who knows where they're really going to sign? Maybe the Mets will sign them.
Fans don't retire. They'll be touring and whoring.
I mean, but she also is the kind of person that could do her own thing. She's done it a little bit before. I didn't love it so much, but maybe she'll figure it out.
She has that song with Flat Earth Bob. Which is weird, because it's called changed. Airplane. So you think if you were in that airplane, you'd
right,
see the Earth wasn't that flat.
Yeah, I saw exactly where you're going. It made me laugh, even just the concept of the joke.
I wasn't a planned joke.
No, I know, but
it's really just dawned on me.
I saw the road happening.
Imagine I'd just been sitting here this whole time, just like, I hope I can pepper this joke.
I hope I can pepper Flat Earth Bob.
Organically.
Airplane lover Flat Earth Bob. My number four artist of the year, the aforementioned Noah Kahan. I'm going to play Homesick. I'll play the Homesick version with Sam Fender. I don't know if you're a Sam Fender fan at all.
I don't know Sam Fender. Noah Kahan's a guy I've been hearing a lot about. Have not taken the dive into him, but everyone's talking about him. I don't know if he's burst onto the scene this year or last year or just relatively recently, but I've been hearing his name a lot, and I haven't taken the plunge.
Yeah, this album came out in 2024. I want to say that there's a version of this album that's a little bit older. It's not showing here for some reason. But I think he had a lot of singles maybe last year, and a lot of those singles just were thrown onto an album this year.
Right.
But this song, I want to say, is from 2023. This album is extremely long. And he also has a lot of... all the singles on this album have a version with like a famous person, too. So like, there's a version of this song with Sam Fender that's playing now. There's a Gracie Abrams song with him, Brandi Carlile, Hozier, Casey Musgraves, Lizzie McAlpine, Post Malone all have a song on this album that are all like sort of remixes.
I'm sure I'd like him. I like this. This sounds pleasing to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just
he's like a we were talking about folk punk earlier. This is just the folk part, so maybe you wouldn't like it so much.
No, I like folk.
Okay.
I'm like, no, I don't need the punk. The folk is a big part of why I like folk punk.
He also sings well, too. Maybe you hate that now, too.
I hate singers.
I hate singers. He's good. He's a Massachusetts guy. He talks about how angry he is because he's always in the cold weather and he's grumpy. And I think he's got character. Yeah.
Relatable.
I think he's also thrown a terrible, terrible first pitch for the Red Sox, which I like as well.
That's funny. Yeah. That always builds character. Yeah, it always humanizes.
It's like, that guy only ever plays guitar. He's never thrown a baseball in his entire life. It's very funny.
Good for him for even agreeing to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my number four artist. My number three artist is Mom Jeans.
There it is. I knew it was coming.
It's Mom Jeans. I'm going to throw up a song called...
Throw up.
I love this band so much. I'm going to play Kevin Eats Cats off of Bear Market.
Okay. Oh, off of Bear Market. Okay, yeah. All right. Love your Bear Market.
I love my Bear Market. This is a really fun one.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Nice and short.
This is a whiny one, too.
Let's go with
what is the original? I know. That's great.
So good.
This is so whiny pop punk.
Yeah.
I think the original album that this is on is the only album of Mom Jeans I still haven't visited. I think I'm saving it for...
Is this on Puppy Love? I don't even see it there. Oh, yeah, it is. You Can't Eat Cass Kevin is the name of the original song.
Yeah. That's not the first album, right? The one with...
That is 2018.
Death Cup. And...
So Death Cup is 2016. Is it Best Buds?
Yeah. Yeah, I've listened to their first album. Listened to Sweet Tooth, obviously. I've listened to Bear Market.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot of stuff.
Besides... Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good. I mean, we'll hear the chorus in like a second or two. But I've like dove into some other bands that are like starting to come up that are like trying to rejuvenate the pop punk scene a little bit. Like, I don't know if you've heard of the band Microwave. They're doing a little bit of this stuff too. They're not quite as good. I don't know. They just scratch the itch in a way that the old bands don't anymore, because I've heard every pop punk song ever, and they just like sound overplayed. Right. These guys sound like they're doing a little bit more
office
modern.
Office reference, office mention.
Thanks, gotta flag those up.
I like it.
But no, I hope they make more music too. They were great live.
Better,
love them. Seem like cool guys, a California band.
Can't wait to see them again. And they are, you know, people know about them. When I was working at the school, and I said I was going to Mom Jeans, a lot of students were jealous of me.
Oh, so the young hip kids know.
The ones that are talking to me do, at least.
And my number two...
Is it the Big Fat Losers?
You know who you are, Big Fat Losers.
You know who you
are. My number two artist I mentioned before is Taylor Swift. I will play her
Just
best
kidding,
song...
Just kidding, by the way, about the loser thing. And you guys actually are listening to this. I don't know how you found this, but...
I'm going to play Christmas Tree Farm.
What? Tis the season.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to play Delicate.
Speaking of music videos, one of the great music videos of all time.
I think this music video helped me fall deeply in love with her.
Talk about a parasocial relationship.
I think it really did help me become like a super fan. I was like, oh, she's actually cool and fun. Like she's a dork. I also want to learn that dance. It sounds fun. I always thought that if the Lonely Boys ever did a live show, we would have to come out to like this dance. We have to do
idea.
Like what's the podcast that we went to? It was called Groceries at some point. What was it called when we went to go see them?
When we saw it was called Throwing Shades. Now
Throwing
it's called Attitudes.
Yes, Throwing Shades came out to like a little number that they performed for us.
It was really good.
It was really good. So we got to do some sort of choreographed dance, and I think this might be the one that we come out to.
I think this music video made me like the song Delicate more. It's still not one of my, you know, I think I have it ranked consistently lower than a lot of people. It's just not.
But I get amped up for when it starts to rev up a little bit, because I can feel like, it makes me want to start dancing because I know what's about to happen.
Right. Great live. Great live, definitely. Big news, like we were saying, Taylor Swift, you're number two artist as well, not number one.
Yeah, yeah.
Swifties may revolt. We may lose a lot of listeners.
We really might.
Our base is mostly Swifties.
I want to say she wasn't affected at all by like the SiriusXM factor, because SiriusXM doesn't seem to play her at all. I don't know if she has some sort of thing with them. She had a station for a little while leading up to the release of Torture Post Apartment, and then as soon as it released, they ripped the station right off, and I never heard her on SiriusXM ever again.
What? If you told me there was an artist that had beef with SiriusXM, I'd
be.
Expect
Yeah, absolutely.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I figured it's not so much beef, Taylor but it's probably like exclusivity she likes to keep. If she's not getting like paid big bucks for, she's not going to put it up there.
I mean, Taylor Swift was like not on Spotify for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
This album came out. When Reputation came out, I was like, so how am I listening to this album? Because it's not on Spotify.
Oh, I must have had it on Apple Music at the time, and you didn't.
I mean, it came soon after.
Yeah, okay.
That was also when I was like making my top 100 songs playlist, and I couldn't put any Taylor Swift songs on it because there was none on Spotify. So, you know, it was a tough time to be a Taylor
Swift
fan.
Yeah.
2017.
When's this coming out?
2016,
this,
2017.
Remake of this. People have been speculating.
She hasn't announced it.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll be next year. I mean, the pattern has been new album, two re-releases, new album, two re-releases.
Right.
You did the new album this year, so two re-releases in 2025, I think.
Okay.
I mean, she'll be done. She's done touring, finally.
Yeah.
The time. I'm sure it's close to done anyway.
So I have one more artist left, and I said who it was before. I don't know how much more Green Day we want to play, but if we were going to play one Green Day song that's different than what we've heard so far.
Thing, Jesus of Suburbia.
Now we're
we'll
talking,
sing
we'll
along.
Sing along, of course.
the instrumental version, so we can do karaoke.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll play... play St. Jimmy. So that's it. I mean, we're not going to go into albums because I think we would just end up talking about Green Day more. I think that about...
One of the great Locket music videos. Highlight a bullet in the Bible.
I did watch that this year, too. I can't believe I hadn't
watched it. I was going to say, wasn't it you who said that you hadn't watched Bullet in the Bible?
Yeah, it was me. And it was just as good as I had hoped. It was maybe even better. It still doesn't quite beat the concert movie that is Stop Making Sense. Just because it's a little weirder and it's more of a movie.
That's like agreed upon. It's the best of all time.
Yeah. This was really fun, too. It was... I mean, they sounded amazing, too.
King for a Day / Shout is one of the best things ever.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
My mom heard the song back in sixth grade and tried to ban me from listening to Green Day.
She didn't like the suicidal part and a couple other things, probably.
I guess. You know, she's like, do you even know what they're singing about? Also, King for a Day, speaking of, she's like, you know what you think about? You think about dressing like a girl.
And he's not a girl. Just plain wrong.
Tough time. It's time to be a Green Day fan. I'd pile Fatico and would give me albums and I'd have to sneak them into my room and listen while my mom was in the house.
Like middle school kid, that's so cute.
No classic rock, dude. That's classic rock, dude.
But you wonder in like what year was King for a Day? That was 97?
Yes.
Was he poking fun at the idea of like cross dressing or is he a fan of it? I guess by now he's celebrating it, I would think.
He's a fan. He's, you know.
He was always a fan, I want to say.
I think so. Okay, he's been a part of the queer community since we've known him, so you know.
Okay. Was he openly for that long? I don't know his history too much about him.
I think he's been openly bisexual since they started making music.
Really?
I mean,
I didn't know that.
The song "Coming Clean" off Dookie is about him coming to terms with his bisexuality.
Didn't know that.
Opening your number one artist. Come on.
I don't do that much research. I just I listen and enjoy. You know, when I listen to St. Jimmy, I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about.
He's been doing interviews about it since they were like coming up. I don't know how seriously people took it, but
I thought it was interesting when he was talking about Bobby Sox. Like, you know, it was cool to like be able to say boyfriend in a song. I was like, this is something that he started talking about in the last 10 years.
No, come on now.
I don't know.
Oh my god! Yeah,
he's a bi-con, right?
I think he's appreciates the drag community.
Good. Well, that's good. And that ends our song.
End
our show. And don't wear it out.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Let's the green guys for you. That's what this episode is.
The green guys. Yeah. Yep. I guess some stats, just the artists that appeared most on my top 100 songs list. There were 17 artists that appeared multiple times.
Okay.
A tie for 12th through 17th. We had a couple of artists appear with two songs each. Fall Out Boy, but I don't know, count that, because one of them was the song with Taylor Swift. So
that's a good one.
It counts. It's a great one. Avril Lavigne with two songs.
Nice.
Nicki Minaj with two songs this year.
Okay, from the new album?
One from the new album and one from the greatest hits album she released, I think, the year before.
Okay.
Two from Ingrid Michaelson. Two from 21 Pilots that released a new album. Not up for album of the year this year,
They're
I guess. And
I can't stand them.
You and too many people. Listen, they're not that good anymore.
Boy, did they had some stuff.
They put on a great show.
Okay.
And then two Sabrina Carpenter songs who, you know, Please 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 is all the way up there at number two. But I think the album, I mean, I was going to say it came out too late. It came out in June. But I think I maybe didn't listen to it until July. So I only had the second half of the year to really work with it. And everything else really came out in the spring, except for Brat, which I guess.
Okay.
Whatever. Anyway. Then three-way tie for 9th through 11th place with three songs each. We have the Front Bottoms, who we haven't talked about today, but always a band that we love. Maggie Rogers, someone who we haven't talked about today, but she had a new album this year that was, I thought, amazing. Not as good as her last album, which I really liked.
Agree with you.
And then three songs from Ghost, who we have discussed today.
Nice.
Then four-way tie with four songs each on the top 100. fifth through eighth place, we have Charlie XDX. Mm-hmm. All of them were from Brat. Maniskin, we've not talked about, but great Italian band. Yeah. Love listening
to them. You know who loves them? Chris Neary loves Maniskin.
I also love Maniskin. I always love Chris Neary. I'll have to talk about that. I'll have to talk about Maniskin with Chris Neary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They came in second place on
they play on Alt Nation.
Italy, Italian X Factor. They're great listen. Got four songs by Phoebe Bridgers, and I do count the three Boy Genius songs as Phoebe Bridgers. So Phoebe Bridgers / Boy Genius. And then four songs by Olivia Rodrigo, all from Guts.
Okay.
So
Guts. And then I think I phased out on Guts quick. I was so excited when I first listened to it, and then I got over it within a few listens front to back. I was like, okay,
and
I get it.
She came out with Guts Spilled, the... Mm-hmm. The deluxe version, either late last year or early this year, and so I think my Spotify did not tell me what my albums were, but I told you that I think that Guts and Brat each had four songs each, so I think they would be the 5 and 4 spot. And we get into my number four artist here, 5 Mom Jeans song in the top 100, but they were split out among albums, so I don't believe any one album really.
Okay.
5 Mom Jeans songs. Number 3, 7 Green Day songs, all from Saviors. Mm. So I think Saviors is probably my number 3 album of the year. My second most abundant artist, 10 songs from Ramshackle Glory, all from Live the Dream.
Are there 10 songs on the album?
Yeah. There are 10 songs on the album. So that was probably my number 2 album. And then number 1, still got to get Taylor Swift to number 1 spot somehow. 24 sure. Taylor Swift songs in the top 100. 22 of those songs were from the Tortured Poets Department.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I think all the songs from Taylor Swift in my top 100 are from Tortured Poets Department. Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Would you like to guess the 2 Taylor Swift songs in my top 100 that weren't from the Tortured Poets Department?
I want to guess, let's see. I know your favorite song. It's skipping my tongue right now. What the fuck is that song?
It's not that one. It's not that one.
Oh, it's not.
So save your guess for the story of us.
Okay, yeah, that's my guess. I know last year we had a lot of Antihero and Karma. Is it anything from Midnights?
No Midnights.
Oh.
No Midnights. So wait, I retract.
Okay.
Bonus track from Midnights.
Is it the John Mayer song that we love so much? Would've, could've, should've.
No. Not even from the 3M version. Bonus track, the Target exclusive track.
Oh, shit.
That got added to Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what that song is. What's it called again?
It's different.
Okay.
Yes.
Now my album includes all that on one.
Yes. Fact.
Okay. Yeah, I see it now. That one is great. I do love that song.
It's different. And then
the other one is from 1989. Is it a classic Max Martin song?
Now, if you were paying attention earlier, I mentioned that there were 2 Fall Out Boy songs on my list.
Oh, you did.
And one of them is Electric Touch was the other one. Electric Touch and Hits Different were the 2 non-Tortured Poets songs that broke into the top 100.
That's good shit.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Some other notable people on here we didn't mention yet. We kind of talked about Billie Eilish a little bit today. I didn't have her on my tops for anything really, but
yeah,
in my top 100, she had the whole album's on here somewhere. Grouped together in the top 30. You have L'Amour de Ma Vie, or I guess you could say that better than I can. How would you pronounce L'Amour de Ma Vie?
I guess I'd have to see it spelled out.
Okay. I figured you could hear me and then say it better.
What is this artist?
Billie Eilish. This is off of Hit Me Hard and
Soft. Oh, the right. The song.
Yeah.
I'll look into it.
Then we have Birds of a Feather, The Diner, Blue. I mean, the whole thing's really good front to back. I just watched her Tiny Desk concert, and she was amazing live. It was really cool to see her in that intimate little setting with Phineas playing guitar and doing backup vocals. He sounded great with her. If you haven't watched her Tiny Desk concert yet, you should go watch it immediately. It's really fun. Really
fun. De ma vie.
Ooh.
Well, la mer de ma vie.
You've come so far from Louis either way.
Mer de ma vie.
Okay.
I think so.
Hey. I'm not here to judge. I just wanted to hear it better than what I could do. Other one, did you listen to any of Childish Gambino's new album this year?
Yes, and there is one song that made it my
favorite
song by a lot on that album.
It's Lithonia.
Tell me what you think it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's the jam.
That song is so good. I listened to that so much.
I wish the whole album was like that. It was so fucking awesome.
Yeah, I listened to that song a lot. I was shocked that there was something that I liked so much.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think as a whole, I liked the album more than I think probably the two albums he had put out before that.
It's, like, it's weird, but fun. Like, there's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
Still.
When he was a big standout. I haven't listened yet to the re-release of what was the album he re-released?
I didn't
this
listen
year?
To that either yet. That was the one that he didn't finish, but he put it out anyway, and he's like, let me actually go back and finish it. I didn't listen to that either yet. I should go check that out. But yeah, that song made it all worth it for him to do one last album.
For sure. Ando Stone and the New World.
Yeah.
That's the album that Lithonia is on. What were the other ones that I liked on that one?
There's one like cute, like little like community type song that he sang, like the love song.
Yes.
That was really good. That sounds like Troy and Abed singing that song together.
Real love, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm trying to find the album that I'm thinking. Oh, Ata Vista. That's the one I haven't listened to.
Okay.
What? Oh, that was the one that. Yeah, he didn't
came
even
out
have
with, like, numbers.
Titles.
He didn't have titles, yeah.
Yes, he didn't have titles. I wonder why he put it out. Anyway.
It's a good question.
For me, I do... I don't know if you're done, but we'll get back to it in a second.
I'm good.
For me, this song has made it onto my top 100, I think, 3 years in a row, which is incredible. Teenage Dirtbag by Weezer.
Oh!
He's found its way there.
Nice.
And then, also... I go to Brooklyn over the weekend, famously. See, and Gallagher puts on the music video to Teenage Dirtbag.
Hell yeah.
Like, I can't escape this song. It's everywhere.
It's a Long Island native, whatever
Comac.
His name is.
Well, no, I don't even know if he's just wearing a Comac sweatshirt in the video.
I think
I don't
he's
think
from
actually
West Iceland, I believe.
Yes, I think he's from somewhere else. But he was repping Comac in the music video.
Yeah, that's a song that I'll go to when I want to play music at the shop when we're like brewing and stuff like that. You hit one song on Spotify and it kind of just like does its own thing that like the algorithm take over. Mm-hmm. So I pick a song that like will give me a good vibe for the day and I'll start with.
That's the algorithm setter.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
Such a good. And we were listening to the Lizzie McAlpine cover of Teenage Dirtbag and it's good, but he takes out the best part,
which is
he doesn't do the. Oh yeah, Dirtbag.
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, she don't. That's the reason for the season right there. That's why we're listening to the song. The Dirtbag. That's what we're singing this song for. That's what we're doing karaoke for this song for. And the fact that she just skips right over it, I was very, I was very disappointed.
Yeah, last time we did karaoke, we had a couple of people perform Teenage Dirtbag. Was it Megan?
I think we always. I think we always do. I do think that is Meg's go-to.
Yeah.
Karaoke song.
And she drags up an old to sing it with her. that's all I got.
All right.
Yeah.
Liguori will be very happy with the length of this episode.
Yeah, we did good.
I guess, should I ask you, what are you plugging?
What are you plugging?
I guess so. I'm right, plugging.
Hold on, I'll ask you. Give me 1 second.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you plugging?
Nice. Well, I'm plugging the Happy Boys, as always. Keep listening to... The 25 Days of Christmas. The horns
have been very fun. Those have been very fun.
Oh, that's good to hear.
I must say they've been good. Because listening to them all at once, it's very funny because it's like it's such a manic nature of it where you guys are really bantering for so long and then I'm listening on 2x. So like the last 4 minutes, but 2 minutes for me, I'll just be like, all right, we got to talk about the beer. This is good. This is good. This is really bad. And then 2 minutes go by, and then it's like so relaxed again. And you're just like, all right, so what are we bantering
about? Thank God we don't have to talk about
really,
the beer anymore.
Really ebbs and flows, and it's a very fun listening
experience.
I'm glad.
I wasn't sure this project would be worth it at all, but maybe it'll be a thing we do every year from now on.
I've been having fun.
It's been fun to do. It's really fun to we do like 6-episode chunks at a time, and it's fun to be like,
I was in 7-episode chunks at a time.
There you go.
At the end of every week.
What happens behind the scenes, if you're watching on YouTube, I turn off the episode, I go change my hat, and then we start again.
Right.
That's the only thing we do differently.
I did hear you mention that.
yep. Spoiler alert for the back half, I do drink beer. If you've been listening to the first 12, I've been drinking whiskeys on ice, and it's been horrible. I'm no longer punishing myself for the back half. Keep listening to that. There also will be a finale to that has nothing to do with beer or whiskey, but I think now we have it confirmed we're going to be doing a fun little, I guess, should we say Full House Christmas episode table
read? Should we say it?
I guess we're
I mean, you
say
just
it.
Did.
Yeah, I
you
guess
just
I just did, said it.
So we should say, yeah, Full House Christmas episode table
yeah.
read.
Yeah, so it'll at least be, as of now, me, Gagan, and Brian, so the Hobby Boys and Lonely Boys will collab on this episode. We're going to do a fun little Christmas special to finish off the Hobby Boys 25 Days of Christmas, and we're also going to post it on the Lonely Boys feed as well. So
I'm working on my Stephanie.
Okay, I guess you're locked into Stephanie.
Well, draft.
You have the breast for it.
What?
I don't know who that's more rude to. More rude to.
How rude.
I'm just teeing you up. So listen for that on Hobby Boys and on the Lonely Boys feed. Listen to it on both feeds for us. How about that?
Please do.
You better.
The same time.
Same damn time.
You're like a Swiftie and listening to it on repeat
yeah,
as
please.
You go to bed.
Yeah.
Really bump those numbers.
Bump those numbers. And we're also all done with Blitz Bowl Battle 5 came to an end. Love yous with Nikki Cass was the winner championship game, so go listen to us cover that. I don't know if you know Nikki Cass, but he's the guy that does the he does a lot of like old man impressions. So you could say why I love him, because I love when people do like funny old man impressions.
I don't feel so good.
Yeah, he's kind of stole my thing. I think he threw out a first pitch this year for the Yankees.
Oh, was it better than Noah Kahn's?
It was different. It was definitely different, and it was bad.
Would he throw it into the outfield instead of the...
kind of. He had a giant Andrew Gandy moment. Yeah. So listen to the Blitzball Boys. We'll be doing awards soon.
Awesome.
Get pumped for that. Yeah, gotta love it.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm pumped.
You sound pumped.
For me, I don't know what to plug. What would have I been... Music videos. Watch some music. Watch some music. The Lost Art
okay,
of the Music.
Okay, yeah,
video.
You're back on.
Do that. I don't think I've got anything. I've been so busy with finals and studying for the state exam coming up and traveling to Brooklyn, famously. That I rewatched Finding Francis, the finale of Nathan for You. That was just this one to watch, as always. Rewatched one of my favorite movies, Shit House.
You don't have to be rewatching stuff. New stuff only.
Well, I was in Brooklyn.
Okay.
we were just watching stuff, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what? When is this coming out? This is this Friday.
Friday, yeah.
So I believe the next episode of Diary Room will be released. I will be the guest on.
Okay.
So when that drops on Tuesday,
very nice.
You can listen to me. Talk about Big Brother players and decide whether they should move on to the next round or not to determine who is the best Big Brother player of all time. Very fun. I was very nervous that I was not going to be able to talk intelligently or would have forgotten about the players that came up, but I think I remembered the players that came up. And so if you like Big Brother, you like me, you like Matt Liguori and Amon.
Or one of those things, even.
Yeah. Or any combination of any of them. Listen to that. It should be released on Tuesday. I hope I'm not jumping the gun. I hope I'm not like a week
you
earlier.
Better
or something.
Not. You still look Liguori's so stupid.
Liguori is going to scream at me when
he liked
hears
this episode until just now.
Yeah, he may have just unsubscribed. Yeah. Yep.
There
he
it
just
is.
We just lost a subscriber. Well, oh well. Besides that, I guess you can follow me on Blue Sky at MattyFresh24.rest. You can follow Brendan wherever. Twitter, I guess, at Ruppy Puppy. You can follow his other podcast, The Hoppy Boys, at The Hoppy Boys Pod. And you can come back next week where you'll be hearing that great Full House Christmas episode table read with all of Brendan and his co-hosts. It'll end up dropping, I guess, 2 days after Christmas. But if you're still in the Christmas spirit, then listen to
it. Throw it
up on Christmas Day. But if you get it on Christmas Day, you're not going to get another one on that Friday.
Yeah,
if
just
you
drop
really
it again.
Like listening to us on Fridays, you can listen on Friday.
Yeah.
All right. It's like the marshmallow test. You know, you get one marshmallow now or two. Well, I guess not, because you're not getting two.
No, yeah, don't get it.
That was a bad analogy. It's not like here's one marshmallow now, or if you really like marshmallows on Fridays, you can wait. No, that's not what happens with those marshmallows. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
You get it.
Oh, but until then, you love us. XOXO. Lonely Boys.
Bye-bye.
Save big this holiday season.
All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.